This is Dr. Robert Loeffler, and I am interviewing Dr. Juno L. Rendall, Vice President of Admissions Emeritus of Concordia College in Moorhead. It is Wednesday, February 13th, 1985, and there is a blustery wind blowing outside with an occasional snowflake. This interview is held in the recording studios of the Audiovisual Center of Moorhead State University. And I am Robert Loeffler, the interviewer for the Heritage Commission, Heritage Education Commission. As an introduction, Dr. Rendall, would you kindly tell me of your background, when and where you were born, and the educational steps which eventually led you to Moorhead and Concordia? This can be rather brief.
As born in North Dakota, in the Rugby, North Dakota area, went to school in the little town of Fillmore, North Dakota, and they have a three-year high school there. So when my folks moved to Moorhead in 1919, I finished my high school and got started in the freshman year at Concordia College. At that time, they had an academy or high school department as well as a college, and graduated with a bachelor's degree with a major in biology at Concordia in 1923. Then my folks continued to live in Moorhead until about 1936. We had the home at 121 7th Street South at that time. Then I went into public school work in North Dakota, took the master's degree in educational administration at the University of North Dakota in 1929. I'd spent a year at the Luther Theological Seminary in St. Paul, and decided that education was more my style than the ministry. And in 1930, went to Waldorf College in Forest City, Iowa. I was president there for 11 years, and in 1945 came to Concordia College and was vice president there. I joined Moorhead Kiwanis in 1946, while Julian Melberg was his president. I was out of the club for a few years because of schedule conflicts, but I do have a 30-year plus membership certificate and a perfect attendance for the past 17 years. I was a club president in 1957-58 and membership chairman for the Minnesota Dakotas District of Kiwanis in 1976-77. While Moorhead's Werner Brand was district governor. It's from that background that I'm discussing the work of Kiwanis clubs here today.
All right. Can you tell us something about the origin and history of the Kiwanis club here in Moorhead, Juno?
I'll begin with the national organization in that the first Kiwanis club was organized in Detroit, Michigan in 1915. The name Kiwanis originates in American Indian languages. I'm not sure just what it does mean. This was early in the service club movement in America. The Rotary Club was probably the first, as early as 1905. The Moorhead Kiwanis Club was started in 1921 with 55 charter members, meeting in the New Columbia Hotel in Moorhead, which has long since been torn down. This is according to Dr. Byron Murray's history of the Moorhead Kiwanis Club. That was published by the club in 1984. The Moorhead Kiwanis was the first service club in the city of Moorhead. The Moorhead Rotary Club was started 1 month later.
All right, fine. I've interviewed Dr. Glassrud on behalf of the Moorhead Rotary, and now you are talking about the Moorhead Kiwanis. Are there similarities between the two organizations, Dr. Rendall?
I was a member of Rotary Club in Forest City, Iowa for 10 years before we came to Moorhead, so I've had considerable experience with both clubs. And yes, they're very similar. The Rotary Club was sort of the originator, starting in 1905. The Kiwanis Club perhaps was next in line in the service club movement, and that was followed perhaps by the Lions Club, and since that by a number of others. So there are there are similarities, and I think those two organizations have learned a good deal from each other, both in Moorhead and nationwide. I could add that Kiwanis is a worldwide organization with clubs in most of the countries in the free world. The headquarters office was recently moved from Chicago to Indianapolis. We're in the Minnesota Dakotas District, and our Region 11, made up mostly of Fargo-Moorhead clubs, but it extends from Detroit Lakes to Valley City and north to Hillsboro. There are 7 Kiwanis clubs in Fargo-Moorhead. In Moorhead, there are the Vikingland Kiwanis with their breakfast meetings, the Golden K with a membership of retired people, and our Moorhead Kiwanis, which is the original, with their Thursday noon meetings. In Fargo, there are the Fargo Kiwanis Club, the original club there, meeting Tuesday noons. Lake Agassiz Kiwanis, meeting Monday noons. Rough Riders Kiwanis, a breakfast club. And Fargo Golden K, an afternoon club for the retired. Our club, the Moorhead Kiwanis Club, sponsored the formation of the breakfast club in Moorhead, that is, the Viking Land. They also sponsored the retired persons club, the Golden K. And they also organized the Circle K, a related service club at the Moorhead State University. That's on the college, a club on the college level. And they sponsored a club on the high school level, the Key Club, in the Moorhead High School.
Do you know the dates of the formation of the Circle K clubs, Junold?
No, I really don't.
They go back ways? Or are they recent?
Well, comparatively recent. I suppose it's probably a dozen, 15 years ago here in Moorhead, and I really don't know how long it has been operated nationally. The general idea is that this is an avenue of youth work for the Kiwanis Club. That is, by sponsoring a Circle K Club at the Moorhead State University and the Key Club at the high school, they have the service club idea sponsored on those levels. And then as the sponsoring club, the Moorhead Kiwanis, provides them with, I think it's over $1,000 a year for their expenses. For example, giving them a chance to go to their district and their national and international meetings. So that it's a sponsored organization, but it's also a vehicle for our doing youth work. Mm. The High School Key Club, for example, is a great illustration of that. They've shown initiative on the high school level and leadership, not only locally but in their district and their division. That's really been beautiful.
Yes.
The youth work of Kiwanis is not limited to these two organizations by any means. They reach out to the youth in the whole community. But this is a special opportunity to give special opportunities to these people.
Do you agree, too, that generally, though, the young people, say, beyond high school maybe, think little about joining a service organization? Would you agree that they...
It's a comparatively new idea for them. And one interesting thing about the two youth organizations here in Moorhead, both of them are co-educational. While Moorhead Kiwanis and Kiwanis International is only for male members. That, well, we'll probably get around to that later.
Yes, I think maybe who can join the Kiwanis Club, Julian?
First limit, as I just suggested a minute ago, is that it's a men's organization, although there's a good deal of debate about that now. The new member, the prospective member, is nominated by one of the members. And then the name is passed on by the entire Kiwanis board, which numbers a dozen people or more. The kind of people that Kiwanis Club is looking for are the people of leadership qualities or leadership promise. And That perhaps comes from this idea that Kiwanis is a leadership training type of an organization. Otherwise, there are really no requirements, legal requirements as to age or occupation or level of work or anything like that. At the present time, the club numbers about 80 people. It has been as large as 100, just a bit over 100. It started out as a club of 55, and it's rather interesting that in the first half dozen years, they reached a membership of 75. Evidently, somewhere between 75 and 100 is a fairly logical size, mostly because the dining places where the dinners are served are limited in size. And even with a membership of about 80 people, there are a number of restaurants or eating places where we can't meet because they do not have room for that large group. However, Ramada Inn, where we're meeting now, has plenty of eating space. And so at the present time, there's really not that limit, at least, on the size of the club.
All right, thank you. Do you limit the number of, say, doctors or faculty members that can be a member of the club?
The Rotary Club started out with the idea of one person from each occupation or profession in the community. The Kiwanis Club started with the idea of two people from each profession. One person from a profession and his principal competitor. The idea was to broaden the club to include competitors in each field rather than a single representative from each field. Well, since that time, well, to begin with, the classifications were divided and subdivided and subdivided so that you could get in almost everybody because the classification was so detailed. Mm-hmm. By the time that game had been finished, I think the service clubs got around to the idea of not more than a certain percent, not more than 20%, let's say, from any broad professional classification. That is, not more than 20% of the club should be medical or educational, and so on.
All right, thank you. Now, something about the purposes and program of the Kiwanis. You may have touched on this briefly, but what service do you perform in the community?
Not long ago, we had a long-range planning report, and that was prepared largely by Ed Clark as chairman of the Long Range Planning Committee, Gary Herr, Don Peterson, myself, Dr. Byron Murray were also on that committee. And they built a good deal of their long range planning around the six objectives for Kiwanis. And they're very significant, not only on the national, international level, but right here in the Moorhead Kiwanis Club. So I'd like to read them. The first, to give primacy to the human and spiritual rather than to the material values of life. The second one, to encourage the daily living of the golden rule in all human relationships. The third one, to promote the adoption and application of higher social, business, and professional standards. The next, to develop by precept and example a more intelligent, aggressive, and serviceable citizenship. Followed by, to provide through Kiwanis clubs a practical means to form enduring friendships, to render altruistic service, and to build better communities. Finally, to cooperate in creating and maintaining that sound public opinion and high idealism which make possible the increase of righteousness, justice, patriotism, and goodwill. I think we can see from that list of objectives that the Long Range Planning Committee is talking about here that this organization tends to be a little idealistic, altruistic. It's not a commercial club, in other words. It's not to protect the interests of Moorhead commercially or professionally or whatever. And I think that shows up in the specific goals that are chosen for each year. Each year, a goal is chosen. I couldn't list them all, but they're somewhat along this line. One year, maybe build better lives. Another year, uplift underprivileged children. Another year, enrich the world of the handicapped, and that sort of thing. That sort of points the direction and way of the goals and purpose of the club. Now, as to the services that are provided to tie in with those goals, the club raises a certain amount of money each year. The present time has been running around $6,000-$7,000, and that money is used to help individuals or especially organizations or groups that give service to youth, to old people, to the handicapped, to the underprivileged, and that sort of thing. That's where the money part of it goes. Then the members are encouraged to become active in the volunteer work, a census is taken of the time that's spent in altruistic work, as well as, I mentioned, the money that the club raises. As to the individuals or groups that organization seeks to help, I'd like to read the names of the committees. That gives some idea of the outreach, the attempted outreach. Each committee, the title of each committee would give some suggestion of what they're working at. Agriculture and community service is one. Boys and girls work is another. Programs, of course, that's practical. Bylaws and regulations, likewise, and public relations. Then there's a Key Club committee to work with the High School Key Club, and the Circle K Club committee to work with that group. There's a fundraising committee that raises the money that I spoke of. Membership and education. The committee is responsible for the Kiwanis education of the club as well as keeping up the membership. The major emphasis, as I mentioned, a special emphasis is chosen for each year. Interclub visitation, well, every month a group of four people or so from our club is to visit some other club. And going round the horn means visiting every club in our region. A spiritual aims committee, a sunshine committee, house and reception committee. Those are the various committees.
What is the sunshine committee?
To look after members particularly who are ill or need some encouragement and so on.
All right. How does the community see your organization in light of what you have said? Do you have any idea?
Yes, I think Kiwanis has a very good picture of itself in the community as a service organization, as an unselfish organization, as a fundraising organization for various causes, as a strictly honest organization. That is, the money that's raised in the activities of the club, the tickets that are sold and so on, goes strictly for charitable purposes, and none of it gets around to paying for convention trips or meals or any other services that the club pays for in its membership dues. So that I think the club has a very strong picture of whatever the money that this club raises goes for, all of it goes for good purposes.
Does the community necessarily know that, though, that so much was donated to muscular dystrophy or something like that?
Probably not. That's a continual problem. However, I will say this, that whereas some organizations, and we've been hearing on TV, radio and TV now lately about starvation in Ethiopia and certain monies that aren't getting there, I think the feeling is, I think the confidence in Kiwanis Club is very strong in Moorhead, and I think it has reason to be, because I think the club is very, very conscientious, really bending over backwards in that respect. I could say that with regard to the groups that the club seeks to help, that's been changing over the years. when the club started in the 20s, for example, the boys and girls work consisted in buying shoes for poor children, providing overshoes to be provided through the school, for example, to children who are coming to school with tennis shoes or, you know, with inadequate covering, to take care of medical needs where the county nurse or the teacher would say that that was necessary. Now, I think we've moved away from that somewhat because the charity organizations, not only governmental, but also private charity organizations, are doing a real good work in dealing with individuals. And instead of trying to find the individuals now, the Kiwanis Club is more apt to go to the sponsoring charity group and ask them to find the individuals. In that way, you get away from duplication, some families being taken care of too well and other families not at all. So that the change in that respect mirrors the change in society in general, that now we can do our work through other social service organizations rather than so much of it direct.
That's fine. Thank you.
Once in a while we get into the direct help business in rather unusual cases.
All right. Thank you. Excuse me. Now, finances. We know that you have a couple pet projects each year. Tell us something about them, and then are dues required? And you ever seek grants from other organizations?
No, we don't receive any grants from any other agencies whatsoever. Let me begin by telling you something about the bookkeeping of the organization. There are two funds in Morehead Kiwanis, and that's true of all the Kiwanis clubs to the extent that they follow instructions from headquarters at any rate. That is, there's the administrative fund, which is the fund that the club as a luncheon club takes care of. That's financed by dues. And that pays for the meals, and it pays for the club representatives who are sent to district conventions, national conventions, whatever. It takes care of the newsletter, the postage, the printing, the incidental supplies. That is, Kiwanis, as a luncheon club, pays all of its own expenses through the dues. The dues, incidentally, now are $64 a quarter, and that takes care of the 13 meals and, as I say, the Kiwanis dues and other expenses. The other account is the activities account, and that is a benevolence account and used only for others. Now, these two accounts are not only kept separately in the treasurer's books, they are deposited separately in two different banks, so that these two are as separate as two organizations completely.
Fund drives are?
The fundraising activities at the present time are principally an ice cream social in the spring. That's held in the Morehead Center Mall lobby, and is very successful. A lot of people come out for that. The tickets are sold in advance. Of course, people can come and get their ice cream without having tickets in advance, too.
Now, before you go on, it always hasn't been held, though, in the Morehead Mall. Where was it held in previous years?
Well, it's been held various places, and usually out of doors.
Right.
And I remember once it was out of doors on the Concordia College campus, and the strong south wind came up. And the paper plates flew every which way, and the tablecloths refused to stay on the table. We really had quite a day of it. And I think that's about the time that we decided to try to have the social indoors. And the facilities at the Morehead Center Mall have been very, very good. This has been one of the big fundraisers. The other one is a dinner that's put on in December, shortly before the Christmas holidays. And for many years now, it's been a lutefisk dinner in recognition of the Scandinavian heritage of many of the people here in the Red River Valley and in Fargo-Moorhead. Now, that's a lutefisk and the Swedish meatball dinner, so that there's some choice. Now, how long this can continue is a little hard to say. From one point of view, there are very few people left in Moorhead who were born in Norway and know of lutefisk in that connection. On the other hand, there's a tendency for third and fourth and fifth generation people to become sentimental about that sort of a thing and want to try lutefisk once a year as a novelty. At any rate, it's been very successful so far, and time will only tell whether this ethnic emphasis will continue to sell tickets. Of the two activities, the lutefisk dinner is the most profitable one, really, but it also involves more work and more effort in selling tickets and more work in putting on the dinner. Now, there have been various other, one other fundraising thing, the gumball machines. We have gumball machines in choice locations in the Moorhead, and they produce probably $500-$600 a year in profit. There have been other fundraising activities. I'm thinking of Peanut Day as one of the more recent ones, where specially designed packages of Kiwanis peanuts were distributed free to children at various shopping centers or wherever large numbers of people would gather, with the idea that by giving free peanuts to the children, that the parents will respond with a donation in the tin cups that the members carried.
Is that still done?
No, it hasn't been done now for some years. It really is quite profitable, but it took a lot of time, and it has a little of the aspect of begging. And not all the Kiwanians are happy in that particular aspect. And I think they all feel happier about the two, the ice cream social and the dinner, as being slightly on a higher level, also being more sociable. I mean, there's a chance to do something, to work together.
Okay, fine. Moving on then, where did the Kiwanis Club first meet in Moorhead, do you know, and where do they meet now?
The club started in the New Columbia Hotel. I don't know that the hotel was so new even then, but that was the name. It was located right next to the NP tracks, and it's been torn down. That's where they started. Then during the 30s, for a while, they held their meetings in the Congregational Church, and the women served them and prepared the meals, and they got by on a lower meal cost. And during the 30s, the Kiwanians felt it important to lower their meal costs, and the Congregational ladies didn't mind making a little money on a small amount of money on the project. Otherwise, after that, we met in the Comstock Hotel, the Gopher Grill, the Top of the Mart, the Moorhead Holiday Inn, which is now the Regency, and now at the Ramada. And I suppose we've been at the Ramada now for 4 or 5 years.
Is there any reason for moving about for the meeting place?
Well, there were good reasons, I'm sure, each time the move was made. In some cases, the size of the facility. In other cases, the club would be moved from one eating place to another because they could get a better deal on the meal. And those two, I think, would be the main considerations. Now, the club meets weekly. That's a requirement of Kiwanis International.
And that's each Thursday noon.
We meet Thursday noons at the Ramada. And the time is 12:10 to give people a chance to leave their office at 12 o'clock and get there. And closing at 1:20. And during that time, we've had our meal and a program.
What are the programs like?
The programs are usually a talk given by somebody of between 20 and 30 minutes. And sometimes the talks are given by members. Most often they're given by non-members. The general theme of the programs at Kiwanis, I think, is to learn more about the Fargo-Moorhead community. And that could be information about the governmental aspects, the social welfare aspects, the educational aspects, the social aspects, and whatever. Now, the programs are not limited. I mean, we could have good programs that are sheer entertainment, and probably occasionally on national and international topics. But if you were to ask me what's sort of the central theme, I'd say it's to learn more about the Fargo-Moorhead area, its problems, its opportunities, and what we as a club can do.
What's the fun aspect of each meeting like, Gerald?
Getting together once a week for a meal is a fun aspect in itself. By the time you have 80 people, for example, that you don't necessarily see every day in your business, representing a cross-section of all the occupations and professions and businesses of Moorhead, and you have about 10 people at each of the round table, each of the round tables that they're using now, that's fun in itself. Idea of working together at something, whether that's working at the ice cream social or working at the dinner or working on a committee on some local project, is a lot of fun. Naturally, at the tables and after the meeting starts, there's a certain amount of good-natured kidding and so on. One of the things that's going very strong now is what they call the happy days.
Oh, yes.
It's announced that do we have any happy days, and anyone who's had a birthday or somebody graduate in their family or a new baby or grandson or daughter or a wedding or something outstanding in their business will stand up and tell in a sentence or two what makes them, what they're happy about, mm-hmm. and then they give a dollar. And that goes into a scholarship fund. A $200 scholarship is given to a Concordia student, another one to a Moorhead State University student, and another to the Moorhead vocational student each year. In other words, these happy days bring in about $600 a year. This gives a lot of people a chance to be on the program. And the fact that the happy days tend to get too long rather than too short, you know, indicates that the men enjoy telling the rest of the crowd what it is that happened to them that made them happy. Except for the happy days, fundraising is not permitted during the meetings. And this is an exception, because this does become a fundraising. It's a very interesting part of the day, subject first of all to the time limit. They shut it off so that the speaker can get enough time, and secondly the fundraising. I will say that there's one aspect of the fundraising that bothers me. When each individual stands up and says, "I'm happy because I have a new grandson," or whatever, that's great. But when they say something that makes it necessary for all the people in a certain group to contribute a dollar, for example, MS has won a game, and somebody is happy because the game is won, and then all MS people have to pay a dollar, that bothers me because that's fundraising. So there you have both sides of it.
Very good. That's a nice insight. All right, Juno, now... can you identify people who have played key roles in your organization over the years?
We haven't had a large number of governors. I think Byron Murray is the only one that we've had from this club. But of course, the Minnesota Dakota's district is a large district. It includes Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. Now, actually, the governor is chosen one year from Minnesota, the next year from South Dakota, the next year from Minnesota, the following year from North Dakota. In other words, Minnesota has two chances because their population, of course, is greater than both the Dakotas put together. And there's a desire to spread the governorship in among all the hundreds of clubs that we have here. And Werner Brand was our governor back in a decade or so ago. But there are lieutenant governors that cover this region, and there we've been very well represented, I think more than our share. C.G. Doslin, the attorney, C.A. Ballard of the Morehead State University, Glenn Woods, an insurance man, they were lieutenant governors in the earlier days. Superintendent Reinertsen, S.G. Reinertsen, superintendent of the public schools, C.O. Bystrom, Harold Reed of the Reed Cleaners in the middle years of the club. More recently, Werner Brand of MSU, John Hall of the Stonegate Kennels, Byron Murray, MSU, Curtis Danielson of Concordia, Ward Thorne of the Forum. These have been the lieutenant governors. At the present time, if we're thinking of people who have been in the club for a long time and been very active, not necessarily in official positions, but in activities, I'm thinking of people like Dr. Byron Murray, for example, who wrote the history of the club recently. Dr. Werner Brand, who, as I mentioned, was governor. Like Curtis Danielson, who's our present secretary and has been a lieutenant governor. John Hall, who is very active when we had the hobby shows, for example. Norm Overaby, who's been a leader for years. Vern Peterson, recently president and at the present time very active in membership. Harold Reed, now in California, but he was a live wire here for many years. Ward Thorne, our most recent lieutenant governor. And Gene Huber, our fine man collector. Kent Yohe, for example, a recent president. You could go on and on, but those are some of the names that come to mind.
Well, now, do these men also play key roles in the community?
Kiwanis has been fortunate in having members that have been in very, very much key positions in the community. In the public schools at Morehead State University at Concordia, Mayor Lanning, for example, is a member of our club. We have several councilmen in our club, leaders in banking and medicine, and we've had more than our share of leadership. I suppose when it comes to leadership positions in the community, again, Kiwanis and Rotary sort of vie for leadership positions.
I see. All right. Thank you. I think we've maybe covered the next section on communities. If there's anything else you'd like to add there, you can. Otherwise, we'll ask you to say something about your own personal experience in Kiwanis as to when you joined and why, and have you held offices and so forth.
Yes.
When did you join?
I joined in 46, and we had just moved to Morehead in 1945, so I'd been here for a year, a little better probably. But
who got you to join then, you know? Remember?
Well, Melberg was the president, and I think he was the person who talked to me about
that. That was Julian Melberg.
Julian Melberg, yes.
And what did Melberg do in the city?
He had a printing shop, and later a bookstore. And that has developed into what is now the Melberg Christian Bookstore. Although he doesn't own it anymore, there's a certain continuity there from his original printing establishment to bookstore to the present organization. In the meantime, I'd been a member of the Rotary Club in Iowa for 10 years, so I would naturally have some knowledge of an interest. And as to why I joined, well, I think the reason that I joined was to broaden my acquaintance with people in Moorhead. I was in charge of public relations for Concordia College at the time, and so it would be right down my street to try to get better acquainted with the leadership of Moorhead.
Yes.
So, and I suppose a lot of people join for that reason. Now that's strictly a selfish reason, but it's an honorable one, I think.
Yes, definitely.
And then the other benefits of membership sort of develop from that point. I think I mentioned that I was president 1 year, and actually I avoided ever getting into the lieutenant governorships because of my work schedule. And consequently, I have avoided being involved in Kiwanis outside of Moorhead. However, I was on the district membership committee for a year, and I accepted that because, in the first place, I was interested in membership and had done a good deal of that in our club. And also, that's a job that could be done by mail and wouldn't interfere with my regular schedule. Mm-hmm. Also, it's probably interesting to note, interesting but maybe not necessarily worthwhile, that to begin with, I avoided perfect attendance. Of course, my schedule did call for a good deal of out-of-town travel, so that I probably wouldn't have been able to keep up perfect attendance anyway. But frankly, I thought of perfect attendance as being kind of a trap, that once I get into that, then attending, you know, would be number one priority, and I'd give up my own work, mm-hmm. give up my own responsibilities mm-hmm. for that purpose. And so for, I suppose, the first 15 years that I was in the club, I avoided it. Then finally, I got into it and enjoyed it.
Oh, good. All right. Have there been any serious obstacles you have encountered as a group? Within the city or on the state or national level, do you ever not see eye to eye with them? Or
no, I can't think of any particular obstacles. Now, in a way, that's unusual, because you know there should be obstacles in life, no matter what kind of work you're doing or what organization you might be in. But there just haven't been any problems that I would say would be obstacles. Sometimes the size of the dues becomes the kind of an obstacle that a person feels that he's working against. But an interesting thing is that when the dues were $17 a quarter and meals were $1 a piece, the dues were a greater obstacle to getting new members than at the present time, when our dues are $64 a quarter and mm-hmm. our weekly meals are costing us $4.70. So the cost obstacle is always there.
Oh yes.
For some people, and maybe magnified by other people. I think a possible obstacle at times is politics, especially in election years, and partisan politics mm-hmm. becomes a little strong, especially the last month or so before a national election. However, the membership of the club is so united that even though a speaker will occasionally, you know, go off on a tangent in politics, that it isn't anything serious. It's just a part of the life that we're living. We're in a democracy, and we're into that. The reason that I mention that is that I do think that the club's program committee and the club officers in general are aware of the fact that there are both Republicans and Democrats in the organization, and they don't permit a speaker or any particular activity to create that obstacle. Now, other than those two, possible problems, and neither one of them being really problems, I can't think of any obstacles. Now that's almost too smooth to be true to life.
Good. Thank you. Well, in your meetings, though, you have quite a bit of jostling about certain members who are Democrats and certain Republican, don't you?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, that's all in the spirit of fun, and that has no underlying political meaning.
Right.
That's just fun. That's just joshing.
I think of Jamie Nye and Ed Clark.
Yes.
Ed being a Democrat, and he really takes quite a bit of ribbing at times, you know, and it's all in fun. He's a good man.
Yes. So so occasionally in fun, but everyone understands that this is strictly in fun, so that there's no political pressure involved there whatsoever. I mean, no one feels that political pressure.
All right. Going back a minute, and then we'll wind up, I think. You mentioned that you were at Forest City, Iowa, but I don't think you told us that you held an important office there in a college there in Forest City.
Well, I went there as dean of the junior college in 1930, and then after 2 years, the president Granskow went on to president of Augustana College at Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I was made the president, and so I served there as president for 11 years before we came here.
Thank you. And one aspect of the Kiwanis Club that I think we've overlooked is, I can't remember the name of this, but it has to do with encouraging members to give $100 towards an educational fund, is that right?
Yes. As a member of Kiwanis yourself, I really should turn this around and ask you questions, since you're a member there for a long time. But this is the Kiwanis Foundation, and it's organized on a district basis, so that the Minnesota Dakotas district is gathering money that as a foundation. And they use the interest or the dividends from that money to provide scholarships. And high school students throughout Minnesota and North and South Dakota can make application for that scholarship through their local club. That all comes into the district committee, and they award thousands of dollars in scholarships every year. Now, the funds for that Kiwanis Foundation comes from making a donation. Kiwanis individual members making a voluntary donation of $100 to the foundation, and that makes them a fellow of the Kiwanis International Foundation.
Is that on a yearly basis?
No, that's a one-time payment.
One-time payment.
That's right. And then they receive a certificate that they can put up in their office wall that states that they are fellows in the Kiwanis Educational Foundation. Now, the club also can give the $100, and they are invited to do that as often as they want to. And of course, individual members can repeat their contribution if they want to, but it's a one time only. Now, the Moorhead Kiwanis Club has taken out its fellowship membership a number of times, maybe almost yearly, and I suppose maybe a third of the members have at one time or another made their $100 contribution.
All right. Fine. Thank you. Now, in closing, is there anything else that you would like the people in the future to know about Kiwanis?
Well, I think probably we've covered the ground pretty well.
Okay.
As a service club, the opportunities for service change continuously, and we would hope that the Kiwanis Club also continues to make changes as the time goes on. Now, those changes could be in the type of fundraising that they do. As I mentioned before, the lutefisk dinner may not last forever.
Yes, we wonder.
And they may find other equally good or better opportunities for raising the benevolence money that they want to raise in the community, that they want to use, you know, for their Kiwanis-type benevolences. The types of service, as I mentioned, they've been changing, and they probably will continue to change. I think we have found out that service clubs don't need to meet at noon for a full meal necessarily. And so the breakfast club was started quite a few years ago now for these people who are on the road or teaching school or doing something else at noon, but who are free at breakfast. So the Viking Land Breakfast Club is not quite as large as our club, but almost. And that represents a group of people who would not be exposed to Kiwanis and Kiwanis-type service, except for the fact that they moved to a breakfast club. Then when it comes to the retired people, they aren't necessarily out to get a full meal. The Golden K clubs for the retired people were organized for the purpose of spending a pleasant afternoon together once a week over a cup of coffee and a donut, rather than the expense of a $4 or $5 meal, and that's been very successful. Now, it's entirely possible that as time goes on, not only the fundraising activities might change, the benevolence activities might change, the time of the day of meeting might change, the nature of the meal might change, who knows? But Kiwanis really should continue for a long time.
All right. Maybe this is anticlimactic, but do you think, briefly, women will be admitted someday?
Well, you asked for my opinion, and my opinion is yes, I think they will. For this reason, the women's movement is really getting rather powerful, and with various good reasons as far as that's concerned. Now, many of the members of Kiwanis and Rotary and other service clubs have their membership dues and meals paid for by their company. And many of the larger companies, under some pressure from the women's movement, have decided that they're not going to pay for the membership in any organization that can be labeled sexist, that will open its membership easier to one sex than to the other, or to in any other way to be sexist. Now, as soon as enough of our members are under that kind of pressure, that they either change their vote to admit women, or they pay for their Kiwanis dues personally instead of you know, the Forum or the Concordia or the MS or telephone company and so on, paying their dues. Now, actually, I suppose the majority of the present Kiwanis members pay their own dues. But it is very common for the members who are executives of a larger business that the business pays for their dues, including the meal. I think opening up the club to women will probably change the club to some extent. And I think most of the present members are against the change. It's been voted on at district conventions at various times, and it's always been voted down. It's been voted on in our club, and it's been voted down. But the pressure through the larger corporations who are paying memberships, I think, is probably going to be rather strong within a few years. And I think a Kiwanis club can be successful with a mixed membership, too.
All right, fine. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Rendell.
I'm not predicting anything. I'm just giving my personal outlook at the present time.
That's fine. Well, thanks again very much for allowing this interview to take place.
And thank you very much.